Hello and welcome to JoeCon 2014. I'm Chris McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, and I'm recording live from the Hyatt Regency in Dallas. We have a special episode for you today because Dave Tree is presenting a very interesting panel on Action Man, Action Force, and G.I. Joe. We have the entire panel for you to listen to, so without further ado, here is my co-presenter and Mike Irizarry of What's On Joe Mind with the intro. Take it away, fellas.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, well, there goes my job. But, I just wanted to take a second to introduce the gentleman to my immediate left here. This is David Tree. If you're a fan of our show, What's On Joe Mind, you'll know him as the host of our sister program, The Full Force, which is dedicated to Action Force and European and International G.I. Joes. He's going to be presenting a history of Action Force and Action Man from overseas. And take it away, Dave.
Well, thank you, Mike. Good morning, everyone. Just before we get started, just give me a quick idea, a quick show of hands. Did anybody catch the presentation I did last year? So,
okay, liars.
So it's about 50-50, okay. Just very quickly, the presentation I did last year covered 3 years of the UK's involvement with like the G.I. Joe brand. For this one, because it's the 50th anniversary, we're going to like do a quick glance, a quick coverall of everything that the UK has tried to contribute to. And it's a lot of stuff. It really, really is. So we're going to be going at a fairly quick pace without going into too much detail on any specific area or product line, but to kind of give people a big overall idea of some of the things that the UK worked on. When I came to Indianapolis last year, it was amazing. It was so much fun for myself in the sense of that everybody was all together enjoying like G.I. Joe. But the biggest thing that struck me, that like stood out to me, that I hadn't appreciated, was there was almost a bit of a separation between those guys who liked the 12-inch product line and then those guys that liked the 3 3/4 product line. And I don't get why that is. I understand that, you know, it didn't run all the way through, but for the UK, we had the 12-inch side by side with the 3 3/4-inch. So we actually collected and bought both. So if you take anything away from today, where like your collectors of, you know, the sort of things that you're into, try some other stuff as well, be it like international or, you know, if you're a 3 3/4-inch guy, try for like the 12-inch stuff as well, because there's so much great, great stuff. For us in the UK, it's not actually 50 years yet. We got Action Man 2 years after the launch of G.I. Joe in 1966. And a company called Palitoy, who sadly do not exist anymore, they headed out to the States and were introduced to this 12-inch action figure. And it was just brilliant. And the main marketing manager saw the opportunity to like, well, let's bring this brand over to the UK and like see how it goes for the boys market. I'll always say this regardless, but for me, the UK has embraced the G.I. Joe brand quite like no other country. From the point of view of not just, it's always seen as a different product line, but I see that the two is the same. All that is different is actually just the name. But the UK took that brand and developed it in different ways to the United States for relevant for their own domestic and local market and in some cases like Europe. But it's a whole other iteration of G.I. Joe products in a roundabout way. So it launched in 1966 for the UK. Immediately it was a huge hit and actually won Toy of the Year. So that was the very first award for a launch product, which is, you know, now we see that as always happening with like, you know, whatever is the big brand, you know, the must-have toy. But that was quite a big deal for like the UK toy industry back at the time. To begin with, a lot of things followed very similar to how the product line was being developed in the United States. So the products were exactly the same, give or take, with the exception of the name. It was felt that the word G.I. Joe wasn't really going to be a brand name that would work necessarily for like the British market. So they came up with the name Action Man. From that point onwards, they started then to develop things that would then help, you know, expand and explode this whole product line, but then also in a roundabout way help innovate, which would then cross back over to like the United States. So we got a couple of little different adverts, but this is just to give you like a little bit of a glimpse as we go through the sorts of things that how our marketing and advertising was done back in the UK, which is probably a little bit kooky compared to like what you had in the States.
Now he's got eagle eyes that actually move, on the lookout for action, up in the mountains, down in the jungle. He drops from the skies and rises from the depths. He's all action. Look out for all these fantastic uniforms specially designed for
Action Man
and his eagle eyes.
There you go.
It's like he's trying to get away with something.
Now, what? Where I was like talking about like the product development and things like that. The Palatoy, up to this point, was pretty much best known as a doll maker. They did lots of like baby dolls and like different outfits and things like that. They were plastic developers, not injection molding, but more like vac forming and celluloid plastics and things like that. So quite brittle plastics, but it was like very good for like for doll making. So a lot of their experience in that, they could see what could they do to like, you know, innovate and make like the G.I. Joe product a lot cooler, a lot better. And the first one that they actually did was flocked hair. So the realistic hair that you had on like your 12-inch G.I. Joes, that was actually come from like Palatoy. And the story of that was they had a salesman come to see them who did flocking. That's the process. I'm not being rude or anything like that. But the process is you stick glue over a surface area and you put it into effectively an oven and you electrically statically charge it, and all these microfibers stick to the glue. You turn it off, and whatever's left just like drops off and it's thick. And that's how you get your fuzzy hair, G.I. Joe. But the salesman actually turned up. And Palatoy, to begin with, were a little bit skeptical as to whether or not this stuff would be durable enough for like a kid's toy. So they flocked a G.I. Joe head, and for about 2 months, the head of engineering used it for his gear stick in his car. So he was literally trying to see if he could like get any bald spots on that like G.I. Joe head, and it stood up to the test of time. So you know they went with it, and then that's something that came over to the United States. The second one was the gripping hand, which we called it gripping hands, but for you guys it was Kung Fu grip. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the Kung Fu grip, that was. Born out of a frustration with an engineer who was having trouble continuously setting up the Action Man products for like toy fairs. He couldn't get them to keep holding the weapons and things like that. And he just said, what we need is something, fingers, you know, that you can hold. So they went with it, and they started using rubber, and they brought in the gripping hand side of things. And it was modeled on his own hand, and then they flip reversed it for the other. I don't know if that's quite if it's exactly the same like the G.I. Joe Kung Fu grip, but it certainly is in the UK. Then we had like other innovations that were brought to us from like the United States. So like the Eagle Eye was a Hasbro development, but one last big innovation that we had, which was again a British one, but sadly didn't come to the UK, was the realistic body. And this was primarily because up to this point, the G.I. Joe brand had finished domestically in the States. But we had Action Man right up to like 84. So it was like selling. So they created a whole new torso, which included one of the coolest things was like the sharp shooter position. So the Action Man had like an Adam's apple, but you would tilt the head back and the base of the head would go over the Adam's apple, so it was like permanently looking up, but you could have him lying down in like a sharp shooter position. So that was like pretty cool. But as they developed it, you know, the biggest differences overall between like G.I. Joe and Action Man are like the outfits. Now, remember I said earlier that Palitoy were like doll makers. You know, their specialism were making outfits. So they started coming out with all these amazing, amazing accessories to go with like the Action Man products. And because of the nature of the British culture at the time, they kept it primarily military-based. So we've got a couple here of actual outfits from British regiments, and it became like a symbol of pride for the army regiments to be involved with these things, because it's like, you know, we've got our own outfit, you know, we're cool. And it was like the thing of envy for a lot of other like regiments. They all were vying over to like get their own thing. But you also had other things that were developed primarily from World War II, a lot of themes there. So it was like the Allies and the Axis, a lot of outfits that were created. These were two very later on products, but very, very popular. So it was like the Africa Corps and like the Desert Rat. And I remember getting the Desert Rat for my birthday, and it was like, it was the coolest present ever. But you can see that some of the things that, you know, not just like the outfits, but the accessories, the plastic accessories that they were like creating were slightly different to like the G.I. Joe ones. Arguably the most popular one was the Stormtrooper. And that had a couple of different like versions of that outfit. And that, you know, was the ultimately the premise of both G.I. Joe to a degree and Action Man. Is like, you know, he could be anything from our side of things. He could be the good guy, he could be the bad guy, he's whatever you actually like want to dress him up to be. There's a strong tie-in with like the Parachute Regiment. We also like had role play toys as well. So this took a while for Palitoy to actually lock onto as an idea, in the sense of that, you know, everybody wants to like play with these products, but they don't, you know, they didn't quite grasp it at first that the kid wants to actually then be Action Man and like go out in the garden and play with these things. So they had a couple of different crazy looking products like during the 70s. Now, one of the coolest bits for me was Transport Command. Now, this was effectively the vehicle division of Action Man, and they produced some great, great products. Now, this advert gives you kind of like an, again, that snapshot, that glimpse in time. And for me, I think this one's hilarious because of just how the kids look. But if you're not from the UK, it might look a bit kooky looking, but for me, it's just like, yeah, that's exactly how we all looked as kids. It's terrible.
As storm clouds gather over Mrs. Rogers' garden, the Action Man gang assemble for the big parade. It's an impressive display of military muscle. And speaking of muscle, just look at Action Man's new fully posable physique. It's chest out and eyes right as the top brass take the salute. They know that whatever the task, Action Man with his dynamic new physique is ready for action.
Now, how twee is that? Yeah. But, like, it's great. The kids looking over the wall into the neighbor's garden, and it just looks like they're going to, like, mug them, you know? We're going to take your toys or something like that. But Palitoy, I mean, some of these products you may recognize. I understand that some of them came over to the United States, but just to give you an idea of some of the really cool products that they would, like, create for them. And Baron, again, keep it in mind that, you know, your Joe figure is 12 inches, so like these things were huge. I mean, you would literally be running around the garden with these things. But one of the coolest ones, you had the Scorpion tank and you had the Iron Knight. This was just such an amazing product, the Striker Swingfire, and was a development from an existing product, which was like a troop carrier. But this had like air-powered rockets. I mean, just imagine that. And you got like two opening there for two figures to like go in. We had a combat plane, which was, again, that was a pretty big product. Desert truck, infantry support jeep. So again, I understand that some of these were made it over to the States. Police motorcycle, German motorcycle combi. So again, this is where I was like saying a lot of the themes were like primarily driven by World War II. An amphibious vehicle, and you got like the Lewis gun on the side. Land Rover Jeep with like trailers, but they were just great, you know. And that was like a brand in itself. And you had a lot of other companies like producing 12-inch vehicles that were compatible with Action Man, but they weren't quite Action Man products. So Palatoy really locked on, and then they started like diversifying beyond like the soldier themes and things like that. They started to bring in other play patterns. So similar to like where you then had like Adventure Team. Palatoy started creating all like these subdivision products.
Hear the results of your training. Now you realize why these conditions can break even the toughest men. But you faced up to all the challenges, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the new SAS division of Action Man.
See, I thought I had a blocked up nose, but that kid even more so, but... the SAS were like one of the last sort of big sort of sub-product groups for the UK in the early 80s. The SAS as a real army division exploded in national media for various different reasons. So all of a sudden, it was for us the first time publicly our sort of covert special forces were, you know... a common household name. So Palatoy quickly like locked onto that, the opportunity that how cool, you know, my dad's in the SAS. You know, when you're in the playground, you know, it never is, but like, you know, it's just like every plane that flies over, oh, that's my dad flying. So everybody wanted to be in the SAS as a kid. And they produced a couple of really like cool products to like go with it. You had the key figure to the left, and then you had like the Frogman, and you had like they would repurpose existing products, so like the dinghy and like the copter and things like that, into like SAS branding. You also had the Space Rangers, and this was an acknowledgement of Star Wars. Where that came in to the UK in 78, 79, the toys, which also Palatoy distributed, there was like a quick scramble to like get a space theme. So you had the Space Rangers here. And these were like giant rubber suits that like your Action Man would go in. You also had ROM, which was a separate product, and they were like looking to like bring in other products into like the mix that they could sub-license. So you had ROM the Space Knight, he like joined them, but the bad guy was Captain Zargon. And he was effectively Darth Vader with a motorcycle helmet, but he had like light up eyes, and he was like pretty cool. You also had the Footballers. They really went into soccer. Or proper football. They created all like outfits to go with all your favorite teams. So you could actually get your favorite team like done up as an Action Man outfit. But they had this as a product that was like a trigger that made them kick. It was pretty lame, to be honest, and it didn't do too well. But like the kits themselves are very much in demand. You had like theme sets, so going back to like World War II, Escape from Colditz, where you had various different like programs on the TV and things like that. But this was a really cool set. So you had like the British commander who effectively was escaping prison, but you had like a little sentry box with an outfit for a German stormtrooper and like the Colditz commandant as well. But they had like little secret map cases and things like that. Very, very cool. And the special teams. Which were not based on existing military forces. It was like that one slight step into the future to sort of see, you know, make it kind of like a bit futuristic, high-tech military and things like that. This last one really came about because of the effect of Star Wars was having on like the sales of Action Man products. And even though Palitoy distributed Star Wars, they could see that their sales were being cannibalized. And you know, all of a sudden, there was a big migration to a whole different scale of like action figures. So Palitoy needed to like counter this somehow. And the decision was made, well, why don't we make Action Man in a Star Wars scale, just like Star Wars? So they started to develop this whole program of product development to create the best-selling Action Man 12-inch guys into 3 3/4-inch scale. And this is the first of the example.
Come to review your Action Force, Commander.
Yes, yes, I have.
How many will Sir be requiring for his mission?
Well, I am short of one British Marine.
Will he be needing transport? Or will you base him at HQ? Good luck, sir. I expect we'll be seeing you again.
Yes, and take charge of the rest of them until I return, Sergeant!
Yes, sir!
Action Man presents new Action Force minifigures.
Now, anybody who's familiar with the Star Wars toy line, you had like the cardboard Death Star in the UK, and you can see that one there, the Action Force base, is a repurposed Death Star. But the initial lineup in 1982, where I mentioned was like the best-selling outfits, they took those and scaled them down in Star Wars-style articulation. Because Palitoy didn't really have a lot of money, they needed to maximize the use of every single part. So the premise was to create a system of parts that could be reassembled in any different combination and repainted in any different ways to in appear to make a whole new product. And they did this with creating a few others. It was a real instant hit. It was a big, big success. But unlike Action Man, where he could be the good guy, he could be the bad guy, it was felt that, you know, we've got these soldiers, these plastic toy soldiers, but we don't actually have a play theme in there. You know, you do need the bad guy, you know, and the good guys. So for 83, they kind of almost relaunched the line again to encompass a whole new era and introduce like a play pattern of good versus evil.
Gentlemen, the world is in terrible peril from this man, Baron Ironblood, an evil genius who is determined to rule the world. These are the creatures he has created to help him. Now you must create your own Action Force dedicated to the Baron's downfall. Captain Campbell, you will take command of Z-Force, land-based attack troops. Captain Buckingham, the SAS, crack commando squad. Captain McLaren, Q-Force, Subaquatics, and Captain Connors, Space Force. Expect the unexpected. Where will the Baron strike next? Action Force Toys, the battle has just begun.
So there we go, completely different from like the previous year. And for people who don't know anything about Action Force, but big fans of G.I. Joe, well, you got to be because you're here in the first place. But you might have started spotting like G.I. Joe products in there. Now, completely unknown to like Palitoy, they had a great relationship with Hasbro because of like the use of the 12-inch G.I. Joe figure. But they were completely unaware of Hasbro's development of the G.I. Joe Real American Hero, you know, the new 3 3/4-inch scale. You know, they were doing their thing. And it was just this complete bizarre meeting of, we got something that we think you guys might be interested in. You know, and Hasbro lays out, and Palitoy just sat there like, huh, we kind of done our own version, you know. It's like, ah. So what they did was take certain products, because again, I mentioned earlier, they didn't have a lot of money for like product development. This instantly gave them a whole new catalog of stuff to use, recolor, and introduce. So we had all the vehicle drivers were like the G.I. Joe Real American Hero figures, the jointed ones. So they were seen as a premium add-on to the vehicles. These weren't available separately. But through that advert, we had a glimpse at like all the different teams, and here you can see effectively the lineup of each of these teams. So Z-Force were like the basic infantry, and sometimes known referred to as the heavy brigade. But in there, you can see a couple of G.I. Joe vehicles that are recolored, and in some cases they were modified as well. So like the APC for you guys is the ATC for us, but has a different interior. It's almost like a command center, and not just like seats. You had like a turret in there with like a missile rack, and the turret you can actually like put a figure through there and like sticking out on the top. You had the SAS, so again, still capitalizing on the popularity of like the special forces. And again, a lot of G.I. Joe repaints in there with the Wolverine, the Fang, which was then the Hawk, the Hawk copter, and the Vamp became the Panther. Q-Force were the naval team. My favorite vehicle is the one in the top right, the Sea Lion, which is just a beautifully designed vehicle. It's hard as nails to like try and find that complete on the secondary market now. But if you can track that one down, I guarantee you won't be like disappointed. You had the Space Force as well. And again, whereas like mentioning that there was like modifications being made to like Hasbro vehicles, they also took Hasbro vehicle parts. So I don't know if you can see the laser pointer, the vehicle in the middle. That's a Vamp cannon, but you've also got like the instrumentation parts from like the Vamp on the back of the satellite defender. And then on the Cosmic Cruiser, the one in the top right, that's the cannon from the Ram cycle. But as they would develop this, they needed like the bad guys to go with, and this is probably the most popular thing, and some of you guys might be familiar with like the Red Shadows from the previous Jokon set Vacation in the Shadows. These were our bad guys, and had a whole range of weird and wonderful vehicles. You know, they've really pushed it out there with this one, but like massively popular as a result.
Kid Baron Ironblood wants to rule the world through terror. Create your own action force to stop him. The Baron commands the hideous hyena to attack, with Kraken in command. But they don't know about the new SAS Wolverine. The Wolverine fires its first missiles. Kraken tries to strike back, but the power of the Wolverine is decisive. Operation Hyena is over, but where will the Baron strike next? Action Force toys, the battle has just begun.
This really was the last advert in the huge growth spurt of what Palatoy were doing with like the Action Force line. They actually managed within 2 years to make Action Force it overtook Action Man and became the second best-selling boys toy after Star Wars. Again, another Palatoy distributed product. So everything was going great. You know, it all seemed that like, you know, where we're going to take this is going to be like, you know, bigger and better and everything like that. But unknown really to the wider world, the holding group behind Palatoy had other things in mind. Now, Palatoy were actually owned by General Mills, so better known as like the cereals guys. But General Mills owned a portfolio of toy companies all throughout Europe. So in France, it was like Meccano. In Holland, it was like Clipper. In Sweden, it was like Playmix. And they had all like this whole distribution network of toy companies that they owned. But the biggest one was in the United States, and that was Kenner, which was at that period of time, you know, a big rival to Hasbro. Now, General Mills wanted to reorganize everything. They were effectively gearing up for globalization, and they just saw all of these companies becoming a bit more of an overhead to like what they were doing. You know, let's put all our energy into Kenner to like develop toy brands and toy products, and all of these satellite companies like distribute those brands for us. And it really started kicking in 1984, where for the January Toy Fair, they got a fax from General Mills saying, take all the Action Man stuff off display. Now, this was a real kick to Palatoy, because they had developed this whole new product line, which we'll come on to later. But they were telling, they're effectively mothballing the whole project. They were saying, Action Man no more. You can carry on with Action Force, but like not Action Man. So that was pretty much it for Ashman in 1984. That was really the last of his, you know, his big year for now. Within a few months after that, they then took it one stage further and they mothballed the entire Palitoy design department. So all of those crazy, odd-looking vehicles and things like that, that was it. You know, they said, you know, sorry, guys, we're not going to continue your own development. What you're going to do is actually just take the Hasbro product and repurpose that for, like, Action Force. So 1985, the lineup completely changed. And, you know, it was hard for Palitoy, but for me as a kid, it's like, we got these great new figures, you know, and it's all exploded. You know, this was great. And, like, all these cool new-looking vehicles. So some of them you can see are still, like, the Palitoy-like design things. But we started to, like, slowly migrate closer to the G.I. Joe Real American Hero guys that you guys all grew up with. The main difference, though, was the file cards that we had. Palitoy still wanted to retain the international aspect. So all of their places of birth were all internationally. They're all over the world. So just off the top of my head, Deep Six was from Dublin in Ireland, for example. Scarlet was from Sweden, I think, and Stalker was from France. You know, they were bringing in, like, to make it look like an international anti-terrorism team. And where we had the Red Shadows, it then transferred over to, like, Cobra. And again, we had more of, like, the Hasbro vehicles coming across, but still retain a couple of those Palitoy ones. It was great. You know, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, this is just ramping up. And you also found that kids were, like, discarding the five-point articulation figures of old because they've got this whole new, like, really cool jointed figure.
Ambushed by RoboSkull, Cobra Commander's ultimate weapon. Only the Triad fighter can draw its fire while Duke and his buddies make their escape. The second part moves in. RoboSkull is down but not out. And where will Cobra strike next? Action Force toys in Battle Action Force comic weekly.
So on the advert there, they mentioned at the end the Battle Action Force comic. And now this was the main platform that the Action Force brand was, like, promoted within. And we had, like, other things going on within, like, mail promotions and in-store promotions. So, like, buy three, get one free. Or on the backs of the packets, you had, like, mail away for, like, the Commander or Skeletron, which was a really cool-looking figure. Or, like, for us, the Infantryman, which was Grunt for you guys. But for us, Grunt was a troop builder. You know, you had, like, tons and as many of those things as you could get. Now, the Battle Action Force comic really was incredibly popular. And when Palitoy understood very early on that they needed something, you know, they couldn't create a TV series to, like, back things up or something like that. This whole new mythos of, like, good versus evil was, like, being brought in. They needed to, like, have something there to, like, kind of set the ground, the foundations, the ground rules, and let people, like, you know, play and go from there. So IPC Media was actually the biggest producer of comics in the UK at that point, but Marvel also tendered for it, but they lost out to IPC Media, and they produced a weekly format, very, very different to Larry Hama's Real American Hero storylines. But a lot of fun. The main thing that most people identify with this or point out is the body count. I mean, literally every single episode, every single issue, everybody, as many good guys would die as the bad guys. It wasn't like a one-sided thing, you know, and there was always a little bit of a poignant story behind it of that war is a terrible thing, you know, when it comes to it. So it wasn't necessarily glorifying it, but, like, also take that as a comic cover. That's pretty graphic for a kid's comic, and I don't think you could really get away with these things, like, you know, the Baroness shooting someone in point-blank range now. It made for some great, great stories. Now, the big one for us, Cobra Commander, was not a used car salesman or, like, Snake Man from, like, Middle Earth or whatever. He was actually the previous bad guy. He was Baron Ironblood, and in the storyline, Baron Ironblood, the guy with the tin can helmet, he forsaked his Red Shadows. He sold them out. He didn't like what was, you know, they were failing him. So he decided to like create a whole new terrorist faction, and he set out a series of operations to effectively trap them and kill them off, so he could then go away in secret and become Cobra Commander. Now, the one person that knew what was going on was Red Jackal, which, for most people, that's the Destro repaint. So Red Jackal managed to track down Cobra Commander, Baron Ironblood, realized he was Cobra Commander, tried to kill him, Cobra Commander defeated him, knocked him out, and then he was reborn as Destro. Because in our storyline, Destro was bionic. He wasn't like a weapons manufacturer with a silver mask. You know, he was a kind of like a cyborg. So here we got like a clip from like the Battle Action Force comic where Cobra Commander's former second in command, the Black Major, which again was in the Vacations of Shadow set, finds out that Cobra Commander is in fact their previous leader. But they would all still include the Red Shadows in the storylines because they were out for revenge now. They had a new purpose. It wasn't about, you know, destroying the world. It was actually getting back at Cobra. And quite often there'd be a lot of crossovers and deals going on. So here, Destro talking to his former commander, the Black Major, in a deal to like try and like usurp Cobra Commander and like take him out. But we also had storylines that were just really out there. So in this one, the Red Shadows revive and resurrect Hitler. And in this one, it was Action Force. So there we got the SAS guys, but we got Major Blood and the Baroness. They were captured by the Red Shadows and the new Nazi movement. And they had to, like, literally, you know, get out of it. But it was one of those, it's kind of indicative of, like, the culture within the UK. Again, it's not the sort of thing that you could really get away with now for a kid's toy line. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. We look at this now as adults, and you think, oh, I don't know. But, like, no, this was being bought by, like, 5-6-year-old boys and things like that. It's just a bit crazy. But where we were talking about General Mills like maneuvering Palitoy, effectively in 1985, we had 1 year of like those real American hero products, and General Mills decided that's it. We're pulling the plug on Palitoy as a whole. The writing was already on the wall when they like dissolved the design department, but they literally just overnight flicked the switch and said, no more. It's all done and dusted. We're just distributing Kenner products into the UK now. So there was a mass redundancies and Palitoy became no more, which was very, very sad because, like I said, none of these toy lines were actually failing, but General Mills effectively wanted to sell off their toy division and create Kenner Toys Company, which they did successfully, and it all went down well. But it affected all these like toy companies all throughout Europe, where they were just like literally getting rid of them to make it look attractive for a buyer. This opened up the opportunity for Hasbro, though, because this was previously closed off. Because you've got to remember, these guys, although they were allies in the sense of like Palitoy through like Action Man, they effectively worked for one of their biggest rivals. So it closed off the European market to real American hero products. So after the dissolving of Palitoy, Hasbro International decided to like, well, let's relaunch the brand and have it more closer to the G.I. Joe products that we have domestically in the US. But to keep those signposts of familiarity with people, we'll still keep the brand name. We won't use any of the Palitoy design products because effectively, technically for copyright reasons, Kenner owns them. But we can use our entire back catalog. So 1987, they relaunched it as Action Force International Heroes. A whole new comic was produced through Marvel Comics, whole new storylines, but with all the familiar characters that you guys all know. Again, another minor change was they wanted to keep that international element. So Flint was from the UK, so it was like Footloose on the cover there. But, you know, all like characters from all different parts of the world, again, and not necessarily all from the United States. But within this, you started to see slightly more advanced advertising for TV commercials than what we've previously seen, because all of a sudden we could use the Sunbow cartoon elements and stuff like that. Oh, can we get that one started again?
Cobra has developed the awesome Stinger, but a daring raid is planned by
Action Boy.
It's the Striker
with Airtight, Flint, and Driver Crankcase.
The Stinger. We'll surprise Cobra, but Cobra's got a bigger surprise. Fire!
They will never give up. They're always there.
Let's go! Full force!
Cobra Stinger comes with Driver. Striker comes with Driver. Codename Crankcase.
So a lot more advanced from what we previously, and a lot more sort of uplifting and things like that.
No love for Bazooka.
No love for Bazooka. Mm. Yeah, I think he bought it. But when they came to relaunch the line, we didn't get the same assortments that the US market did. We were behind, but it actually gave Hasbro UK an advantage to select the best sellers. So it was almost for a launch line, it was all almost the greatest hits of the last few years. But they would combine in with mail away offers. So we had Cobra Commander, the hooded version. You could only get him via the Woolworths mail away promotion, which was a retailer that we had in the UK. It was a big toy retailer. But yeah, they were taking all those cues from America and drawing on the experience of the American market to do the best they can for the UK market, and it was it went in a storm.
Action Force headquarters, but the transportable battle platform is in position.
Fire! Launch torpedo!
As the hydrofoils unleash their rockets, Flint's surface-to-surface missiles are the perfect reply. Cobra hydrofoil comes with pilot, codename Lamp Rays. Battle platform with weapons, figures sold separately.
So the marketing became a lot more dynamic and fresh. In terms of comic advertising, they've done them as stories and things like that. But for the most part, at this point now, give or take the differences in the names and the file cards, the products were pretty much similar to what the domestic US market was. There were a few exceptions, which today become big favorites for people to try and track down and collect, which we've got coming up next.
Now, G.I. Joe have Tiger Force. Captain Cobra vehicles repainted and rearmed.
Tiger Force, showing the colors yellow and black. Hungry to fight and ready to attack.
Tiger Paw, Tiger Fly, Tiger Shark, and Tiger Cat are ready for combat.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe, the Action Force.
So here you can see there's a migration happening to start of bringing from Action Force International Heroes, they changed it to G.I. Joe, the Action Force. And then within a few years, it just became known as G.I. Joe as they completely changed it over to the same brand to the United States. But this is probably one of the most more commonly known variances that we have and differences. So Euro Tiger Force. So you got Psych Out, Sneak Peek, Hit and Run, Outback, Blizzard, and Tunnel Rat, recolored and repainted in that awesome camouflage, I guess, they are that fearless that they do not fear death. And Outback himself has got almost a Hello Kitty kind of print on his, and looks like Kenny Rogers. They're hilarious, but they are, people love them, they always are asking, can you get hold of these guys and things like that. They're actually really hard to find, to be honest. They're always almost harking back to that Palatoy craziness. There's a few elements still left there, I think, from the British side of things. But as that was running out of steam, just as it was in the States, a new thing emerged for the UK market was to actually bring back Action Man. And in 1994, they actually, again, using the Hasbro-like connections and things like the products that have been developed in the States, they brought back Action Man.
And nothing's going to stop him. It's Action Man. Stalker and Duke fight the evil Snake Eyes and Cobra Commander. Each 12 inches tall and authentically detailed, from lifelike hair to cloth uniforms, combat helmets, and metal dog tags. Each combat Action Man comes with an awesome light and sound weapon. Action Man, he's back and nothing's going to stop him.
Did anybody spot the evil Snake Eyes then? Yeah.
That guy can catch a break.
So... This was as close as it came to like the American 12-inch products being sold in the UK. This was like the test launch to take those products, but then they soon migrated into taking those elements and rebranding them. So it started off as a military line again, and this was like an instant hit. This was like the kick that it needed and was massively, massively popular. Some of these products, again, you might be familiar with for guys who collect 12-inch or maybe even played with these guys as well. We still got the Tiger Pants, but they were always bringing in some very, very cool products. And just looking around the dealer hall yesterday, I saw a couple of these. It's like, this is so good. But Hasbro UK, again, just started doing this huge product development program of bringing all these new products in. Over a period of time, it did change from the military going into like more extreme sports side of things. So here we got Rappel Rollerblade Action Man, but he was like it. He'd be like the mountain biker, you know, and Formula One race driver. He became like more sports orientated. A falconer. And he also had like allies as well. So compared to before, where Action Man could have been anything, Action Man was the character. But he then had allies. So he had Nuck and then Natalie Poole, who again was in the Vacation of Shadows, one of the exclusives tied to that release. Frogman. And they also developed a couple of different iterations of how Action Man looked throughout that product line. But also working with Deke, did a short-lived animation series as well, which wasn't really aired publicly in the UK. These things were like sold on VHS video cassettes and like the advent of like DVD and things like that. But we needed the bad guy again, so we had like Dr. X. And Dr. X had many different iterations, and he had a couple of like... he had a couple of sidekicks like Professor Grant Gangrene and things like this, but he was the main villain. And Dr. X effectively just wanted to pollute the Earth and destroy the Earth and things like that. And it wasn't quite a war effort. It was just like trying to foil Dr. X all the time in like the cartoons and within like the toy product line. But ultimately, there was still, even though the things were different, in terms of how the previous brands were, there's still an element of that you had that British, like, let's kill the bad guy. So we had this whole voting thing going on of like, you know, do we kill off Dr. X?
A year ago, a mysterious island surfaced capable of destroying the world. The evil Dr. X was in control, and only one man could stop him, Action Man. Through sweltering jungles, over frozen wastes, across land, sea, and sky, as bloodthirsty monsters. By day and by night, Action Man has not stopped in his pursuit of Dr. X. Finally, he has hunted him down, and now he will be destroyed. The final fight.
It's time to finish this for good with my awesome Mega Punch.
I'll stop you with Power Claw. Or Buzzsaw.
Neither, thanks, X.
Action Man, the greatest hero of them all.
Save me! Should Action Man try to save Dr. X? You voted, and you decided.
Dr. X is no more. The world is safe again.
Action Man, final combat.
Kill the bad guy. That was great. You can just say, Mom, can I use the phone? kill him. But yeah, there's still an element of like, you know, I think it's just in like, you know, British DNA or something like that. But after that, that was really the last of like Action Man, and he lasted up until like about 2005 or so. Pressures of the retailers demanding cheaper and cheaper products made the whole thing unviable. And they just couldn't really do it, and it was almost like cost reduction, and they had to can it. Now, they did do a different product line called Action Man Atom, which again, almost like what they did with Action Force, scaled down and produced smaller figurines, and they did that for about a year, but it just bombed, and that was really the last thing for Hasbro Europe to like develop independently. We did have other notable exceptions. I've kind of like jumped forward on a couple of slides. Super Joe for us was Commander Power. We did have like Valor versus Venom, and we had like Rise of Cobra, which were the American products just like, you know, for like all the European markets and things like that. But what I thought we'd do is look at some of the products that didn't make it. Primarily, these are all Palatoy products. They were developing at the time of when the plug got pulled. So Z-Force here, we had like modular bases. And the idea was similar to like Starcom, you know, this is pre-Starcom, but Starcom pods, they all connect together, and so you have like anti-aircraft, anti-infantry, a medic bay, a communications bay, and they'd all clip together as like little weapon system pods, and you can like build a bigger base. I think these would have been so cool if they'd managed to do it. You had the Z-Force ATV, which was like either a recovery vehicle or like transportation vehicle. So here you can see like a little pack rat going into the back there. And here, it's quite difficult to see, but this is like a dry freeze storage unit for wounded soldiers. The SAS had the equivalent of the A-Team van. You know, for a covert ops like force, they're now kind of like a bit in your face. Nobody's that opens that up and like blows stuff up with missiles and guns. And they did like do a mock-up of this just to like demonstrate. Space Force were getting exosuits, so this was like very heavily influenced from like the NASA spacewalk programs that were like going on. So they were looking at these things. So he would get into it like that, but then it would fold open, so he would sit upright within the suit, and it would become like a craft that he could repair satellites or shoot down like enemy aircraft. Q-Force had a whole heap of like sub-aquatic vehicles, submarines, seabed trawlers, diving bells and things like that. There was a lot of like development in that area. And the Red Shadows just became more arcane in terms of like their architecture and vehicle design, like crazy looking, almost bird-like, with like claws, like flying vehicles, and very sort of, you know, almost UFO saucer-shaped type things. They also had other influences playing on them as well. So Cyclops here was a suggested figure that was very close to coming about. And this is influenced from He-Man, but he's not next to the Kraken prototype there. There's a special weapons force, so there was like teams of Action Force that never actually saw the light of day. Earlier this year, last year, for folk that were part of the figure subscription service, the club did like the Bombardier figure, which was a repaint of Flash. But part of a larger team, and this one got canned just purely because they felt that it didn't really fit in with everything else that they were like doing. It was too out there. In this particular colorway, this picture, they look more like Thunderbirds characters to me. But still really cool to see like the white vamp and the flak and the mobile missile system. For Action Man, I mentioned earlier that they pulled the plug on Action Man, and they were doing a whole new product line. Now this would have been really super cool. The premise was changing away from like the premise of buying the outfits. It was going to the vehicle. So you buy the base vehicle, and then you could get all like the accessories to go with it. So here you have the Jeep, you have like a tank, and you buy all these accessories to like go onto them. Sure. and outfits to like tie in with like the vehicle drivers. And they did make all of this stuff as like mock-ups. And like I said, it was at the 1984 Toy Fair before they got the facts, literally, like, take it all off. And it was all just put into the grinder, sadly. But there are some photographs out there. I'll try and get those for like a later presentation. Now, I had notable mentions, which I kind of covered. But like for the future of where we are now, I would say that you know, the work that the club has been doing to like bring in Action Force characters within like their exclusives have been like brilliant. And Larry Hammer recently brought in Action Force elements into his ongoing comic book series, which for me is just like a dream come true. It's so great to like see this stuff again. If you want to see more of this stuff, then please let the club know, because it's really the only chance and the only outlet that I think some of this stuff will ever come about. But you know, it's a real pleasure to be here and get a chance to talk to you guys. So much stuff that I've had to cover. But at any point over the weekend, just come and stop and talk to me. Ask away. I'm here. You know, so like you take advantage of that. Just ask me anything, because I love talking about this stuff. Other notable exceptions I like to like add as well is while you're here for this weekend, in terms of, as a quick plug, please stick around for the boss fight thing that's coming up next. We got What's on Joe Mind later on this afternoon, and tomorrow the Joe Declassified. Again, this is all fan-driven content. You know, this guy's giving up their own time to like, you know, talk about this stuff. So please, you know, suck it all in. It's brilliant. But thank you very much. And stop me at any point if you've got any questions.
Thanks to Dave Tree for that special panel, Mike Irizarry for the intro, and the club for hosting one of the best conventions I've ever attended so far. We will have more for you in the next episode when Eddie returns to debrief the troops following our return to the British Isles. Thanks for listening, and as always,
full force!
As always, you can keep up with the show after listening to us by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can write to us via email on thefullforce@allthecoolstuff.co.uk with feedback, questions, vicious scathing criticisms, or just insults. You can view content regarding the show on www.thefullforce.com.